You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It definitely seems that technology is everywhere these days. Sure, we're likely to think about the computers, the smartphones, can't seem to live without them. But according to our next guest, it's starting to show up in places we might not expect and can get pretty invasive.
It's a phenomenon he calls techno creep, and he says that while we may benefit from some of these technologies, we do so at the expense of our privacy. And that's kind of concerned about what the very near future could look like.
Joining us now is Thomas Keenan. He's a fellow of the Canadian Information Processing Society and the Canadian Defense and Foreign Affairs Institute. He's the author of the new book, Techno Creep, The Surrender of Privacy and the Capitalization of Intimacy. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rob.
Well, let's start with this basic idea of techno creep. We've seen rising technology, computer technology, for some time now. When do you see it turning toward a creepifying side?
Yeah, the premise is that there's stuff going on in the background that we just don't know about. I was looking at the ad for an estate sale, and I clicked on the picture of a chandelier, and all of a sudden I see an ad for chandeliers.com up in the corner. And I'm thinking, you know, how do they know? Are they mind readers? Now, I looked into the file, and it was chandelier.jpg was the name of the file, so I convinced myself that was it. But then I read that Google has visual recognition, image recognition technology. Maybe they're looking at everything we look at. And the creepy part is we don't know. This is all secret sauce within governments and companies, and it's all going on around us.
So what kind of information are we voluntarily, in some cases, involuntarily in others, giving up without really being aware of it?
Just about everything we know. You know, I think a lot about technology merging with our bodies, and in the future it will. We'll have, you know, implantable technology. But people are already wearing fitness monitors. And, you know, the idea is you leave them on 24-7 because you want to track all your paces. I know a guy who his Facebook page every day says, Bill took 1,427 steps today. Well, that Nike Fuel Band, as someone pointed out, knows a lot about you. For example, if you burn 150 calories at 2 in the morning and you're a male and you took zero steps, it might decide that you're having sex. And so, you know, the reality is your Fuel Band could make that deduction if it's so programmed. And it could tell people, it could tweet it, it could put it on your Facebook. Hopefully we can control it, but I'm suggesting that it's not always quite within our control.
Now, most of us are not celebrities. We're not famous. Mostly people around the world aren't that interested in our doings and where we're going. So aren't we safe in our relative obscurity?
No, you're not. I mean, there's a great film called Terms and Conditions May Apply. It's a fascinating film, and they estimate that if you use YouTube and Gmail and Google Drive and those things, you're worth about $500 a year to Google. And you can't really go to Google and say, no, here's $500. I don't want to be tracked. I don't want you to be reading my mail with robots and stuff like that. It all just kind of happens. So the reality is there's this value that's imputed to your information, and, you know, some of that information can be quite valuable. It can also be quite sensitive. It could be you searched on a particular medical condition.
So the worry here isn't always the one particular thing, just what we put on Facebook or just what we search for or just what we buy at the drugstore, say. But
yes,
you write about a lot of ways that companies, apps, individuals are able to start putting all those things together to form a picture of us. How do they do that?
That's exactly the thing. They aggregate it. There's a program called Spokio, and I have a 27-year-old son, and I just put his email address in, and it came up with facts about him, kind of where he lives and, you know, things, what social networks he's on. And this is all for free. I didn't buy their premium network, their premium access. So I call him up and say, I heard you like a certain band. And he said, how'd you know that? And I said, it's from your playlist on last.fm. How'd you know I have a playlist on that? I said, it's all out there. I just needed your email. Your email is like your social security number. It ties all these things together. And, you know, the reality is you can creep on people that way.
Well, and here's how it starts to get creepy. There's an app you write about. I forget what it's called. Girls Around You, something like that.
Girls Around Me.
Around
Girls
Me.
Girls Around Me.
I guess that didn't make it big. But how did that work and just how creepy was that?
That one was very creepy. If you had this app on your phone, you could walk into a bar, push a button, and it would do two things. It would look for all the young ladies who had checked in on Foursquare, which a lot of young people do. I was just in an office today, and it said, here, check in on Foursquare. If you check in the most times in a month, you'll be the mayor of this place. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, young people do that. This app unified that with Facebook profiles. So if the girls had not secured their Facebook profiles, you could not only see that they were there in that bar, but you could see, oh, Sally's not in a relationship, and her favorite band is the Bare Naked Ladies. I think I'll go have a chat with Sally. And I just thought that was really creepy that one person could have that power on their phone and poor Sally over there has no idea what's going on.
All right, now let's keep adding to the creepiness. Facial recognition, how does that change the equation?
It's getting really, really good. I mean, for starters, you know, you had to stop smiling about 10 years ago for your passport, and that's all about facial recognition technology. We had a situation in Vancouver, B.C. in 2011 where there were riots, and the police got lots of video. They had their own surveillance cameras. They had citizens sending in video, and it became a big privacy question. Do you actually use those faces to try to track the people? And if so, where do you look them up? Can you look them up in the driver's license database? And the Privacy Commissioner of British Columbia had to rule on that. But it's all moved so far since 2011. My own Calgary, I live in Calgary, Alberta, my police department there just became the first in North America to take crime scene videos and analyze them by facial recognition. And, you know, I was asked, is this a good idea? And I said, well, the technology is not good or bad. It's what data they feed into it. If they feed in, you know, somebody mugged somebody and we can identify them, that's great. If they feed in everybody walking down the street and we know where everybody's going, that's not so great.
And talk about the commercial world now. We see security cameras on the way into Target, grocery stores, you name it. Is there a commercial future where I walk into a store, there's facial recognition, it builds up a profile of me, and they know how to sell things to me? I don't know what else.
It's worse. Mondelez International, which makes, you know, such well-known products as Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy cookies, they're experimenting with smart shelves that will have sensors in them. As you walk by, it won't know exactly who you are, but it'll figure out, are you a man or a woman? What's your body mass index? Are you a likely candidate for a two-for-one coupon just for you on Oreos right now? And if you are, it might display. I thought that was creepy till I found out that in Australia, they actually have a speaker that speaks only to you. It's called Audio Spotlight. It's a focus beam of sound, and you stand in the produce department, and it says, hello, you can hear me, but nobody else can. I'm the voice of your conscience. You know you should buy those fair trade bananas. And it worked. The sales went up 152%.
So the message I'm hearing from you is, you know, maybe while we're online and surfing or entering data and passwords, maybe if we're somewhat savvy, we're thinking about this stuff. But this is going on when we're nowhere near our computer, not even actually actively using our smartphones.
Absolutely. There were some trash bins in the financial district in London that actually were set to record the cell phone IDs of everyone going by. Now, they didn't know whose cell phone it was, but we all know. The phone company knows. The government knows. So, you know, it's not that hard to find out. And they could actually say, between 12:03 and 12:07 every day, this particular phone obviously walks by on the way to lunch. So there's that kind of tracking. It's a bit like, you know, the TV show Person of Interest. There's that kind of tracking that goes on in the background, invisibly, and you have no idea that it's happening except that it is.
And we might assume that we're safe from our computers, our TV sets, while they're off. You also write about, and this got some news a while back, people being able to hack into the cameras. Then it was on laptop computers, I think, but more and more TVs have these. We can be observed while we don't know it.
I was at the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas, and this Korean guy gets up and he says, I don't like to wear clothes much. And the reporters are all kind of sitting there going, yes, so what? And then he goes, but I worry about my girlfriend and my mother walking in front of the TV. And we say, well, you know, what's he talking about? He had figured out a way to turn on the camera, and it was the Samsung Smart TV. And even when the set was off, he was able to activate the camera. And as you mentioned, in laptops there are cameras. Miss Teen USA, Cassidy Wolf, discovered that this guy had pictures of her taken in her bedroom because he turned on the camera, and he's in jail now, which is where he belongs.
And it's going beyond computers now. As we computerify and network appliances, refrigerators, thermostats, is this another area for worry?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw a demonstration this year on the Nest thermostat, which is a programmable thermostat. The company's owned by Google, and the reality is this guy was able to hack it. If he got physical access, he could grab your thermostat. He could turn it up, turn it down, make it display everything. And I thought, well, that's not so bad. He has to break into your house. Then the next session was on hacking automobiles, and they get into the car area network through the Bluetooth entertainment system or something frivolous like that. Then they can blow the horn. They can lower the windows. They could even apply the brakes.
We're talking with cyber expert Thomas Keenan about his new book, Techno Creep. He says technology is getting more and more invasive without a lot of us realizing it. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-642-1234.
Well, what creeps you out about modern technology? Do you have questions about who's doing what with your information and where they're getting it from? And what are the benefits and drawbacks you see to all of this technology? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with author and cybersecurity expert Thomas Keenan in his new book, Techno Creep. He says new technologies are invading our privacy like never before. He's speaking out on who's using our info for what and where they're getting it from. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Thomas, we scared people there for a little bit. Is there anything we can do? Are there a couple of basic steps that we can take to limit how much of our info is out there and how much people can use it?
Absolutely. The first one I call it, be info stingy. So you walk into a store and they want your zip code, postal code, whatever. In Canada, we have alphanumeric ones, so you can give ho, 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 which actually gets the mail to Santa Claus. I guess you guys can use 90210 or something like that. But the reality is stores don't need that unless you're expecting mail from them or something. They're just trying to work into their marketing system, you know, and do some kind of marketing analysis. There was a guy who actually, Safeway cards are great cards. They get you a discount. You'd be stupid not to have one. But when I signed up, you know, I gave an address in Bangkok. This guy went one step beyond. He published his barcode. People printed it off, slapped it on their card. So at any given time, hundreds of these guys, same guy, we're shopping at Safeway stores, and it's just almost symbolic. Safeway, in the big scheme of things, doesn't care, but it kind of sends the signal that you want to be careful with your information.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Jan on the line in La Crosse. Jan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I heard your guest mention the Samsung Smart TV and that it can be accessed remotely, and I own one of those. And I'm wondering, is there anything that I would be able to see, a light or anything on the TV, to know if somebody has accessed my TV in my home without my knowledge?
The answer to that is the power light would go on, but I have a really simple fix for you, which is a piece of tape over that lens. The only reason that lens is there is if you want to, you know, have Skype conversations through your TV. 99% of people never use that camera. It's kind of a dumb feature. So, you know, a post-it note or something like that over the lens is probably the safest thing to do.
That's a cheap fix. Good luck, Jan. That sounds not too complicated. I will go to Tim with us now in Manitouish Waters. Tim, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, quite honestly, there's a radio show that I listen to out of Texas daily, and this guy has been talking about it for 10, 15 years on how technologies will be used to completely invade our privacy, and it will show trends because they can get inside information on people, what they're saying, what they're doing. What they use and how they use it in their houses. It could honestly be warfare at some point.
Absolutely. I mean, there are apps that can turn on your phone and eavesdrop on you. There's one in Brazil called Boyfriend Tracker, and girls are putting this on their boyfriend's phone, and everywhere he goes, they can hear the conversations. So, you know, every time we trust technology, we got to think twice about it. You're absolutely right.
Tim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Thomas, how much was this a conscious design? People were designing this technology with the idea that we're going to track this data, and how much of it was just unintended consequences? Oh, we have this fancy stuff. Oh, we can track this stuff.
I got examples of both. The one that's most famous is Target knows teenage girl is pregnant before her father. Great story in the New York Times by a reporter who determined that Target was able to tell, and they're really interested in pregnant women because they spend a lot of money, and they were able to find out that this girl was pregnant. They started sending her pregnancy-oriented ad flyers, and her dad storms into the store, and he says, "She's only 16. Are you encouraging her to have sex?" And so the store apologizes. 2 weeks later, the dad apologizes. "Well, there were some things going on in my house I didn't know about. She's due in August." Now, the creepy thing is what Target did about it. They didn't just stop sending this stuff because she's worth money. They started mixing in power drills and, you know, wine glasses and barbecues, things that pregnant women don't care about. because their theory was if she doesn't know we're doing it, it's not creepy.
Now, technology is changing super quickly, computer technology in particular. By the time, say, Congress tackles an issue or it works its way up through the courts, we're having an argument about what happened 3 years ago. Where do solutions to concerns like this come from?
Great question. One of the things that bugs a lot of people, and we luckily don't have it in Canada, are mugshot databases. You get yourself arrested in Hernando County, Florida, Sheriff Al will put your photograph up on his website, you know, because he wants to show that he's doing a job. He's been elected. However, there's a nasty site called mugshots.com that scrapes those images off and puts them up there as a public service so you can see who's been arrested. And that sounds great until you see the little unpublishing link for like $499, Visa or MasterCard, they will take down your photo. So they're a business. Now, the state of Oregon passed a law kind of limiting these people, but they find ways around it. What's really going to solve it is technology. So if Google starts downranking, as they can do, mugshots, you know, so a life that's been exemplary life, you know, you have one mugshot up there, it shouldn't be at the top, it should be at the bottom. And if the credit card companies stop letting these people take their money, then, you know, people are going to have to use Bitcoin or something to pay them.
Okay, but if I'm a concerned citizen, I might go to the effort of talking to a state legislator or my congressional representative. How do I take on the task of lobbying Google and all credit card companies and, you know, people who handle PayPal, whoever I would need to go to try to change this?
Probably with your pocketbook. I mean, how you shop and where you shop. My friend Ann Kavukian, who is the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario, says privacy is going to become something that businesses, you know, cite as an advantage, like we protect your privacy. I don't think we've quite come there because it's so tempting. You get that wonderful data. I'm predicting that because of DNA technology, something called touch DNA, in the future, you're going to walk into a store, and if you use the pin pad will be whisked away, just like one of those disposable toilet cover seats, and they will do an instant DNA analysis of you. And the next time you come into that store, they'll say, did you know you're pre-diabetic? We have a special deal for you on pre-diabetic vitamins or something.
That sounds creepy. Well, Colleen on Facebook writes, okay, I am officially creeped out, and I consider myself a somewhat savvy tech user. How can we protect ourselves but still take benefit of the awesome technologies out there?
Excellent question. And, you know, surveillance technology is not all bad. We had a woman in Ontario who forgot, I don't know how you do this, that she bought a lottery ticket, and it won $50 million. And they found her through a combination of credit card records and a surveillance camera in a drugstore. And she was very happy that they had surveillance cameras. So it's not all bad. One thing to think about is try not to leave too much of a digital trail with your email. It's so easy to unify things. So I tell people, have a bunch of different emails. You can have as many as you want. Just make them up for different purposes. So one's for work, one's for home, one's for magazine subscriptions. It'll help to organize your life a little bit. It will also keep somebody from using that as a master key to put everything about you together.
You know, Thomas, we drive cars and accept the risks of an accident in exchange for the benefits of getting places fast. Ultimately, do we just have to accept the risks of government and corporate intrusion, potential stalking, identity theft, all that, to reap the benefits that we get from the communication, the convenience that we get from the high-tech world?
I think we have to think of each one kind of case by case, and there certainly are benefits. But if I got a car now, knowing what I know about carjacking, you know, through the remote accessing and hacking of cars, I would actually check that list of cars. I know the Cadillac Escalade is up at the top of most hackable cars, and I would probably go into my car and disable some of those features. I mean, there's certainly people out there who might try that stuff. So, you know, there's a way to have a middle ground where you can actually get most of the benefits, but you don't just make yourself a total sucker. I mean, right now, there's a bug running around just this week that affects Apple's iPhones and iPads, and it has to do with people accepting, oh, you want the new Flappy Birds, right, click here. Well, be skeptical. Maybe you don't need the new Flappy Birds, and maybe that's not from Flappy Birds.
So, Thomas, briefly, as you wrap up, all this research you've done on these issues hasn't turned you into a neo-Luddite?
No, but, you know, actually, I see the benefits. Like I go on Amazon, and I learn about new books because I see people who bought Techno Creep also bought this book and this book, this one on how Las Vegas uses your data. But, you know, one story that sticks with me from that, people who bought Call of Duty, the video game, also bought disposable diapers. So sometimes we can learn social trends that we don't want to know about just from those buying patterns.
Thomas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Thomas Keenan. His new book is Techno Creep: The Surrender of Privacy and the Capitalization of Intimacy.